Welcome back to The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm Ryan Lloyd, in for David Martin Davies. San Antonio is the only city in the U.S. to receive both the Promise and Choice Neighborhood Grants. They are a focus on education and addressing distressed neighborhoods to increase outcomes and opportunities for people. They are being put to use on the east side here in San Antonio. I invite you, our listeners, to call and let us know if you are seeing a difference through these grants. Do you think your neighborhoods need something like this? Are you a parent or teacher who has high expectations for the grants to better the situation for the children? Give us a call at 614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org, or you can send us a tweet if you're on the Twitter sphere at The Source. District 2 Councilwoman Ivy Taylor is here along with Mary Ellen Burns, Vice President of Grant Administration for the Promise Neighborhood locally, and Shonek Podia, a prominent business leader on the east side. Thank you guys all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Councilwoman Taylor, let's begin with you. I was just going to ask you to describe a little bit more about what these grants are for people who may be unfamiliar with them. What are these grants?
Okay, well, the Promise Neighborhood grant is from the U.S. Department of Education, and it's based on the extremely successful Harlem Children's Zone, Jeffrey Canada's model in Harlem, and designed to try to replicate that around the nation to change educational outcomes in a geographic area of a city. And so our grant here is about $23.7 million over 5 years, which is really focused on saturating the feeder pattern out of Wheatley Middle School, all the schools that feed into and out of that school, to provide the support necessary for students to be successful, to turn around the outcomes. And then the Choice Neighborhood Grant is a U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant for those who have followed over the years the transformation of public housing. They might be familiar with HOPE 6. So this is kind of like HOPE 6 on steroids, improvement of the HOPE 6 program to focus not just on rebuilding the housing, but also to focus on the people and the neighborhood as well.
And that's $29 million, is that right?
Yes, it's $29 million, and it's focused on the Wheatley Courts,
right.
Public housing.
When were both of those awarded?
The Promise was in December of 2011, and Choice was a year later.
So, you know, they've come into fruition during your tenure on the City Council.
Yes.
What do you think it means for San Antonio? What does it mean for the East Side?
It means so much for both the East Side and San Antonio. And I've been telling everyone this is not just an East Side project. This is a San Antonio project. As you mentioned in your intro, we are the only city in the nation to receive both grants. Each of the grants was awarded in maybe four or five cities around the nation, but we're the only one to get both. So I think the eyes of the nation are upon us. It's a tremendous opportunity, and it builds on the platform that we had built through our Eastside Revitalization Initiative.
Well, how unique is that? Or because I know that each were awarded independently, but to have both at the same time, I mean, how unique is that to happen? I mean, because with, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is cities, I'm sure, are applying for those all the time.
Yes.
We got them both.
Yes.
Why? I mean, was it because, you know, the Choice said, oh, well, maybe we can make a difference by partnering with this other grant or vice versa or something like that?
I think it was a result, as I was just saying, of the groundwork that was laid through our Eastside Revitalization Initiative, which started in 2010, the series of large community meetings led by Mayor Castro and myself, where we engaged a wide array of community partners, and Trinity University was a key partner in bringing everyone to the table. And we were able to articulate kind of a vision and some action steps, and went beyond kind of the norm in relation to engaging a broad range of participants in revitalization.
Was there a recognized need for those? That was maybe a part of the reasons we got them both?
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely. And then I think that the federal agencies saw the partnerships that were already on the ground and underway, and they saw an opportunity to leverage that.
Okay. Mary Ellen Burns with Promise Neighborhood. You're on the ground every day working with Promise. How is the money implemented? You know, does it go to all the schools in the area? Do only some get them? How is that determined, or where does the money go? How is it filtrated throughout?
Well, we're only focused on six schools in the neighborhood, from the Early Childhood Center at Tynan all the way to Sam Houston High School, which is the high school that Wheatley Middle School students attend. So it's six public schools in SAISD.
And so, you know, do you hope that will result, or what do you hope the result will be for that grant, you know, overall when all is said and done?
That we build an effective, high-performing cradle to career pipeline for all the students in the neighborhood. I think it's important to note that only half of the students in the neighborhood go to neighborhood schools. So at the end of this, we want to see a large proportion, larger proportion of those students going to these schools because they're high performing.
I know that on y'all's website, it says that you have 10 promises that you've come up with to try to get, you know, your mission statement out there and get your mission focused, right? So one of the missions or one of the promises is that the children will enter kindergarten prepared. Another one is that students will graduate from high school. That's an important one, right? Another one is that students feel safe at school. So how do you put all those promises into this entire mission to do this outcome?
Well, back to your earlier question, how do you build a strong neighborhood without strong schools, and how do you build strong schools without a strong neighborhood? That's the beauty of promise and choice coming together. We are working very diligently together on the safety issue. The number one issue across the board when you ask people what are they most concerned about, what they'd like to see changed first, they talk about safety. If you don't have safety, you can't participate. The mobility rate is very high because of that sense of safety. And it's real versus perceived safety. So what we're hoping to accomplish with this combined promise and choice effort is to reach out to families early on, get them involved in school early on, have them stay in the schools throughout their education, graduate, and be career ready. College and career ready.
Right. And, you know, talking about these investments, and I'll go back to Councilwoman Taylor on this, you know, when the AT&T Center was built, right, was there promised investment to go back into the community? Do you think that has happened, first of all, in this?
No.
Okay. So you don't think that this happened. So when you're talking about investment, for for these grants, I mean, are you hoping that these will happen, or do you think they will? I mean, realistically.
Oh, yes, these definitely are happening. I mean, there will be, at a minimum, a physical transformation of the Wheatley Courts area. It's going to be transformed into a high-quality, energy-efficient, mixed-income community. So if nothing else, people will be able to visually see difference there. But then combining, layering on top of that, promise the focus on schools. As Mary Ellen was saying, what's the number one thing people look at when they decide what neighborhood they want to look in, they want to live in? So layering promise on top of choices, emphasis on both the people in the public housing as well as the neighborhood as a whole, I think we're definitely going to see a difference.
Okay. And so we're going to continue talking about that expectation versus reality, both for, you know, we were talking about the AT&T Center and these two grants, the Promise Neighborhood and Choice Neighborhood grants. And don't forget, you can interact with us by telephone. Call us up at 614-8980. You can email me at thesource@tpr.org or send us a tweet at tprsource. Is our Twitter handle at TPR Source. We do have Councilwoman Ivy Taylor, Mary Ellen Burns, and Sho Nakpodia in the studio with us, and we'll be right back after this messages. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm Ryan Lloyd. We're talking about the Promise and Choice Neighborhood grants that are being used in San Antonio on the east side. Nowhere else in the nation are these grants being used in conjunction with one another to help make a big difference. So that's what we're talking about today. Are they making a difference, or when should the community start to see tangible change? Please interact with us. 614-8980 is the number to call, or email us thesource@tpr.org, or send us a tweet at tprsource. And so we were talking during the break a little bit, Mary Ellen Burns from the Promise Neighborhood Grant. And, you know, the name Promise, right? The name Promise comes from that you promise something. This is going to have a result. What other things in town were we looking at? I mentioned the AT&T Center came, but, you know, the promise wasn't fulfilled.
Well, I often tell people when they ask, where is the Promised Neighborhood? I tell them to act like a bird, and you start at the Alamo Dome, and you go to the AT&T Center, and you look down. That's the Promised Neighborhood. So the neighborhood has been made many promises in the past. So the name itself actually was problematic at first. Why should we think you're going to keep the promise this time? Well, this is a very community-based effort. The voice of the people is where we start. And the plan is developed around their dreams, not the other way around.
Right. Sho Nakpodia is a business leader in the area. And Sho, tell me about, you know, your experience with being in that community. You told me on the phone yesterday you spend 12 to, 14 hours a day
at
your business. Yeah. Tell me about, have you seen or experienced change, and what kind of change are you looking for?
I think there's been a lot of change in the community in the last maybe 10 years. I've been in San Antonio 10 years and officed in a place in a huge warehouse called the Frederick Building that did have some promise at one point as well, but it didn't quite get to fruition. But anyhow, on Commerce Street, there's been a tremendous amount of growth. Sunset Station, and what we're really talking about and what Mary Ellen was alluding to was that we have so many little islands of growth, and not we don't have as much intersection or community involvement. So you have wonderful
little pockets of
growth. Okay. You know, so you have the AT&T, you have the Alamo Dome, you have Staybridge Suites, you have a lot of those that have come up, and that was a good strategy at one point to actually make sure that people invested in the East Side. So now I think the Promise Grant for certain is addressing the folks who actually live on the street level and who live on the ground. And we're trying to make sure that the communities themselves that these islands exist in can share also in what they bring to the East Side. So we want to have the AT&T Center not just be seen as a destination purely where people come in and leave, but when they come into the neighborhood, it's part of a neighborhood, it's part of the Promise neighborhood, or at least on the edges of it.
And Councilwoman Taylor, how do you tell people, you know, look, this is going to happen, or how do you assure the residents in the East Side, you know, that that this will come to fruition?
Well, first of all, we invite and challenge everyone to participate in the many meetings and committees and task force that we have so they can be part of shaping the vision. And then, you know, I consider it a big part of my role just to get the word out on the things that are happening so that the community can provide feedback, can engage in leadership roles.
Councilwoman Taylor gave me a hard time for bringing this up when we first talked about this, but I reached out to the West Side Development Corporation just to ask, you know, do they feel like maybe they're missing out on money or you know, some kind of, you know, grant that the East Side's getting that the West Side's not getting. And Ramon Flores, the director of the West Side Development Corporation, told me that it's not a fair comparison to engage in an East-West competition, right? He says that when you secure money and you have a very focus for that money, that's really what how you're going to change things and make an outcome. I was wondering, did you ever feel, you know, that you were in competition with any other side of town for this grant?
For this particular, I'll just say yes,
okay.
In the beginning, I think Mary Ellen wants to jump in on that.
Yeah, we actually met with the West Side in the development of the proposal to see if we could come together. We didn't want to pit the East against the West. We actually thought about doing a whole corridor. And the education strategies that made sense for the West Side were very different from what the educational needs and strategies were for the East Side. So we could not combine them. We did talk. So we had a conversation. Let's put both forward and let's see if San Antonio wins.
And Ramon Flores, by the way, did tell me that they are getting, you know, money. So they're not completely left out, but, you know, they're not all part of the Promise and Choice neighborhood. And Mary Ellen, I kind of wanted to ask you, what is your day-to-day like working with Promise neighborhood? When you get in the morning, what do you do?
I would say that it's really important to understand that the Promise team, the Promise staff, is facilitating community work. So there's a lot of work in the community by the community. During the summer, we have 1,000 kids right now that are in some sort of summer activity, from creative arts to robotics to academic work to sports, it's the summertime. So they are actually making sure that the investments and the providers and the community partners that are offering these camps are doing what they said they would do so that these kids get quality programming. During the school year, we are doing at a school time, we're constantly tracking on data and academics to make sure that our academic investments are having the impact they need. So that, and we don't wait. I think it's really important to understand that for this project, we have real-time data. So we can respond very quickly, and we find out that an educational strategy is not effective. We don't have to wait for the semester to end, and certainly not for the year to end. We can intervene very early. So we're constantly monitoring the work that's being done by the community, by the schools.
And the money is carried in right now, right? We're getting the money right now?
Right now.
And how long will it last? Does it go over a course of 5 years?
Five years.
Okay, yes. I was right.
through 2016.
Okay. We have a listener comment and question. What happened to the guaranteed relocation of the Wheatley courts? Is that
guaranteed relocation?
Yeah, that said guaranteed relocation of the Wheatley courts, folks.
Well, I know that the San Antonio Housing Authority has a relocation plan where they are working with the current residents of Wheatley courts to move them if they want to move back to Wheatley courts, to make arrangements for them to be able to do so. But it's, you know, a pretty complicated phasing process. They're moving them to other Saha properties, and then they have to actually do construction in order to allow them to move back.
Right. Okay. And I guess the listener said that the number has been reduced. Do you all know of that? Has the number of the relocation of folks been reduced or?
Not that I'm aware of. In fact, I think one of the enhancements from Hope 6 to Choice is that in the Hope 6 program, there did not have to be a one-for-one replacement of the public housing. But for Choice, there has to be a one-for-one replacement of every public housing unit that's been torn down.
Okay. You know, another thing that's making news is that the Pre-K4SA board, the Pre-K4SA program, which you all know that the voters approved in November, they voted to go ahead and study maybe putting some kind of center on St. Philip's College, which is located on the east side. And Mary Ellen is shaking her head, so you're aware of this. You know, I was just kind of curious if, you know, the Pre-K4SA can kind of join somehow these efforts to make education a little bit more prominent.
We think that makes all the sense in the world. And actually, we had several conversations to prompt this study occurring. But before we actually won the Big Promise grant, we won a study, a planning grant. And that planning grant showed that 50% of the children in the target area did not have access to quality pre-K. And so when we got the actual big grant, implementation grant, that was part of the implementation strategy to create more slots for pre-K for children in the neighborhood, thinking that that would, of course, create a stronger foundation for them to be successful once they entered school. So the two strategies really go together and would create an opportunity for us to leave behind something that's tremendous and to have St. Philip's as a strategic partner, where they already have a program where they're training people to teach our littlest students. I think it's just wonderful.
Mary Ellen, you want to jump in?
The other great win here is that, I don't know if you know that, but less than 1% of the residents in the neighborhood go to St. Philip's. Or less than one, pardon me, let me say that backwards. Less than 1% of the students at St. Philip's come from the neighborhood.
Oh,
so
okay.
By putting a child care center on the campus, that builds a bridge. Children always break barriers. And so we're really, really excited about that possibility.
Okay, so you'll work with Pre-K4SA?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, extend that invitation right now, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I was kind of thinking about not the Pre-K4SA program, but the grants that we're talking about today, the Promise and Choice. Do you think that San Antonio is a test city for other areas to maybe implement both of these programs?
I definitely think so, and I think this could be a model. Even if it's not using these particular grants, it could just be a model for holistic, comprehensive community development.
Yes.
Agreed.
What does success look to each of you from as a result of this?
Well, I see from the eyes of a five-year-old child who will be 10 years old when this is completed, and basically, we have a child who has gained so much and has bought into this entire program and takes that, because we have to sustain this as well. 5 years is not enough, obviously. That's just the funding. So we hope that in 5 years, it can actually, we've developed a catalytic kind of approach where it can take off on its own and spread throughout the city or throughout areas on the east side as well. And I think this is a gain for the entire city and not just the east side. It's a near east side. If the Promise neighborhood works, a whole bunch of other areas around that, Government Hill, The Pearl, I mean, we have a tremendous amount of gain to enjoy if this works very well.
And just briefly, guys, we're running out of time, but Councilwoman, what does success look like to you?
Success looks like 10 years from now, people not looking back and saying, oh, that was just another one of those plans. You know, the money got spent and our lives are still the same.
Yeah. Mariella?
That people stay, grow, graduate, and stay.
Perfect. Well, thank you guys for the discussion on the Promise and Choice Neighborhood Grants, and we do look forward to seeing the outcome that they will produce. That is all of our time for now. I am Ryan Lloyd, and this is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.